on the Rebel Sports Network from Learfield, live from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel and Casino. This is the Marvin Menzies Radio Show, brought to you by Findlay Toyota, MGM Resorts International, NV Energy, and by Findlay Chevrolet. Now, here are your hosts, John Sandler and Robert Smith.
It's great to be back with you. Great to be back here at Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino. As the Running Rebels, what are we going to talk about tonight? I'm not sure. Anything good happened lately?
Airplane flights.
Yeah.
big trades in NBA.
Yeah, a lot of trades in the NBA and stock market. Yeah. Now, let's talk about the Reno game.
When was that? That was last night.
We'll talk about that. I think we should talk about that.
Right.
For our audience here, we are having some technical problems. They are working on them, and they'll get them done hopefully as soon as they can. But excuse me.
Oh, man. That's the technical problem.
There's a technical problem right there. John Sandler, Robert Smith, and head coach Marvin Menzies. We're here. We're talking Runner Rebel basketball. The Runner Rebels 17-7, 6-5 in Mountain West Conference play, coming off a split of as tough a road trip as you can have in the Mountain West Conference. And could have been 2-0, but for some strange happenings in Boise. But the Rebels sure made up for it with the big win last night in the rivalry game over Reno.
Right.
What a great effort by your team, Coach.
Could have been 24-0.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know.
If you want to get technical, right. You know, that doggone Utah State game. Then the New Mexico game. And how about Arizona?
Yeah, I know. Northern Iowa.
Northern Iowa. Oh, jeez. Yeah.
Right. Let's talk about Reno.
Okay.
All right.
Good win for the Rebels.
It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I was obviously very pleased. You don't realize the magnitude of a win until you get to the bus. You're driving back to the airport, and you see your phone and the amount of text you have determines the magnitude of the game. So usually losses 10 to 35, 40 texts. Usually wins 40 to 60. ESPN games, I get upwards of 70, 60 to 80. Beat Reno? 210 texts.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
And that was by the time I got to the car. The bus. That's not even counting the ones that came, you know, while I was on the phone responding and so forth. So, obviously means a lot to the community, a lot to the city, the school. Just really, really pleased we were able to bring home a victory, even with the asterisk, as we talked about, not having Caleb in to play. And, again, I want to reiterate that we hope he gets healthy soon and is able to get back on the floor for the Wolfpack. But in the interim, it was, our team versus theirs. And, you know, that particular night we came out on top.
No doubt about it. We'll spend some time going through individual performances and talking about what things pleased you, what things you saw that the Rebels have to overcome. But just in general, and Robert, you can speak to this too, I thought the effort and I thought the getting after it, the intensity, right from the start when Shakur went and saved a tip from going out of bounds on the opening tip, it was there throughout.
I tell you what, it was, the game was all right. To be honest with you, every time I go to Reno, the hair on the back of my neck stands up because I do not like Reno.
Right. So is that how you feel?
Don't sugarcoat it, Rob.
No, but I'm serious, man, because all the years that I played here, mm-hmm. it was like a battle. And then last night to see the players and everybody up and you know, Reno talking stuff to our Rebels and the Rebels talking stuff to them. I said, this is a game right here. I'm loving this, man. And then when you win and you walk back to the bus and you walk by some of the Reno people and they're kind of like, hey, good game. I'm like, yes, it was.
Yeah, no, it was one heck of an environment. You know, you got to give them credit for selling their building out.
Yep.
And showing up in full force, student section was
there early.
Student-y.
It was student-y. It was Reno-y student-y. It was not just student-y.
Yeah, it was what it was. Yeah. So, you know, they'll they'll define themselves however they like. Yeah. But they were packed and they were there early, and you got to give them credit for their passion. And I thought the way our guys handled their crowd, and especially their student section, with some of the outpouring of comments and so forth, I thought it was our guys handled, especially our young guys. I thought they handled it really, really well, staying focused on each other.
I was going to bring that up. I was really impressed. I mean, you know, Brandon McCoy has played on big stages. He's played international basketball, and he doesn't seem to get fazed very easily.
Right.
So I wasn't worried about him. But Amari Hardy in the first half, he dominated that game for a period of time. Nunu Tervel-Beck came out and did the things that you wanted him to do while he was in there. And Mbake, it was like a walk in the park for him with some blocks and some running. But,
right.
But, you know.
He did some good things. He got a nice steal. And,
right.
Had a couple blocks, like you said. And Nunu had a great block.
Yep.
And sprinted the floor. And you know, the problem is now they've shown me how they can play.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
So when you make it clear what you're capable of, well, then I'm going to expect it every single practice and every single game.
All right. You brought it up, so I want to know, because I know what was going through my mind, and I can guess what was going through Roberts. Mbake makes that great play, gets in the passing lane,
man,
tips the ball, chases it down, picks it up, and heads down the floor.
Right.
What were you thinking when he was dribbling the ball across midcourt?
No, I thought he would be okay as long as he didn't cock it back too far. He has this tendency to want to really over accentuate his dunks rather than just getting the 2 points. And he had two that I thought he could have had had he just, you know, been a little more streamlined and a little more efficient.
Oh, the one he put up high on the
glass. He had one there,
yeah.
And then he had another one, that run out where I just thought he, you know, just finish, you know.
You weren't worried about the ball handling in midcourt, though.
Actually, no, to be honest with you, I was okay. I thought he had enough skill to get down to the other.
He was handling it.
Oh, was he? Okay.
And
Curly Neal.
No. You
that
know,
he was not.
You know who he looked like? Tragic Johnson. Not Magic Johnson. Tragic Johnson.
He was on an island, right?
He was.
Yeah. No, but it was great. Great hustle. I mean, and you know, it was JoJo's game in so many ways.
Man.
And his effort and his hustle, he just wasn't going to lose that game.
No, he. You know, we had a really good talk before the game. Not a long one, just kind of nuts and bolts, meat and potatoes. Here's what I need from you. Here's what I need to do with your team. Here's what I need you to say to the guys. And asked him some of his thoughts. And I thought he did a great job of connecting with the guys and getting them to understand the ramifications of that particular game.
Well, it's been a remarkable, you know, and somewhat unexpected season in the way that this team with as little experience as it's had has handled the road. Rebels are now what, 4-2 in conference play on the road?
Yes,
that's
4-2.
That's pretty impressive for a team that didn't have the experience coming in.
Yeah, normally that's your senior Leighton teams.
Yep.
Your guys like Reno, guys like Boise, even Wyoming. You look at it, the top three teams in conference all have significant road wins. And that's what it takes normally to have road wins is experience. All three of those teams have some pretty good experience on their teams.
Another guy who was just absolutely terrific last night was Shakur Justin. I mean, 19-12, getting open, getting to the rim, and for that stretch when he had three offensive rebounds
right,
and putbacks in a 2 or 3 minute stretch, he just did what he wanted to.
You know, there was a moment in every run where he did something that changed the crowd's emotion. Every run that they had, as we look back through it, whenever Reno was making a run, the crowd was silenced a little bit.
That's right.
By something that he did, whether it was an offensive putback or whether it was
a block shot or a defense, something.
And that's what just that consistent effort will get you.
When you say sometimes that you're in the locker room before a game and you're talking to your team or you're just waiting to come out, and sometimes you have a pretty good sense of where they are and how they're going to open the game, and sometimes you don't. How did you feel coming into this game?
Well, I told the guys in the locker room after the game, because I didn't want to jinx it, I did have a feeling that our team is getting better. Now, whether that equated to a win or not, I didn't know whether it was, but I knew that we were going to play well. And then after halftime, you know, I just felt like defensively we were going to have the type of energy we needed. Whether we could keep scoring or not, you know, that's sometimes that's a luck of the draw. But I knew that we would compete again in the second half. So it was just a matter of time before the clock expired and we had more points than they did. So we were pretty fortunate, I thought, under the circumstances of them not having their best player there and having so many young guys in hostile territory.
I was really impressed with the poise everybody showed. I mean, not a single guy out there got rattled.
And that was one of the tougher road games.
For
them to come together and do. It seemed like every player, like you said earlier, did something to change the game. You know, to go our way. Whether it was JoJo running down a loose ball, he's two steps behind right. Drew, and he goes and gets the ball, and we get a score out of it. You know, Jordy getting a rebound. Between two guys, falls to the floor, kicks the ball up, and he gets it going. Somebody made a big play for the Rebels yesterday. No matter what part of the game it was, somebody came out and made a play.
I agree, Coach. Now I know why you yell out plays.
Yeah, geez,
instead of singling them in.
I'm telling you, man. There's definitely a reason for that, isn't it? Boy. We have some hand signal plays. Sometimes you try to slip in, but it's difficult when because it slows you down a little bit too. So
guys have to stop and look.
Yeah. I like to run, you know. And, I mean, what did we score? 80 – what was the final score?
86.
Yeah, and 86 points is because we were able to keep in our rhythm and tempo for most of the game.
Were you concerned a little bit early on? Guys, the pace in the half-court offense wasn't quite what you wanted it. They got it going, no doubt.
We did, but you're right. Yeah, we didn't have the rhythm and tempo that I like to use that phrase because it's melodic and it's a feel as well as execution. You still have to have a lot of pace, you know, and that's the tempo. And even though you might be in the half, you still need to have a certain tempo to your play. And sometimes we were bouncing the ball too much and staring a little bit too much and instead of keeping it hot and setting solid screens and moving bodies and moving people.
I thought the Rebels controlled the tempo more than they did. I mean, they started off with a pretty fast pace, and then, you know, both teams, nobody was scoring, and then all right. of a sudden you guys kind of slowed it down to where you wanted it. And for the most part, I thought our tempo was better than theirs.
Yeah, and I thought there's ebbs and flows of the game, and especially when you got into winning time. Okay, obviously now we want to run a little bit
right,
of clock.
Right.
We want to make sure we get a high execution and high pace in the last few seconds, but we needed to manage the clock, time and score, and I thought they've been doing a better job in that in the last few games as well.
You look at some of the numbers from the game, you know, you had the feeling the Rebels controlled throughout, and there were runs. I mean, it was a game
right.
where 6-0 run, 8-0 run, back and forth. In mm-hmm. the last 7 or 8 minutes of the game, I think it was 11-0 run, a 10-0 run, an 8-0 run, and the Rebels finished on an 8-0 run, back and forth.
Right.
But Reno only led for about 5 minutes of the game. Rebels led for almost 30 minutes of
right.
the game. Reno's biggest lead was 3. The Rebels never let them get away. And they responded every single time.
Every time
Reno made a run at them.
That's right.
Well, we were fortunate in that environment to be able to have the game unfold like that. I mean, we did some things to help in our cause, but Reno did some things to fight us off at times too. And I felt like it was just a good heavyweight battle in a great main event on a big time stage. And so, you know, to play a top 25 ranked team, even though they, like, again, you know, I want to give them, I don't want to, you know, take away from the fact they didn't have their best player. Now, we didn't have Brandon for 16 minutes of, yep. of the game as well, but still, with all that being said, it was it's one that rivalry games are made of.
No doubt about it. All right, we're going to take a break. JoJo just walked in, by the way, and and from the doorway, he made a three over here in wastebasket.
JoJo's in the house.
We're gonna have him come on with us here in just a little while, but we're going to take a break. Come back with more. You're listening to the Marvin Menzies Radio Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield. And Morey's going to take an incredibly long break, and he'll hit it!
Inside the Nevada state line.
That was the gentleman sitting to my left making a three from somewhere near Carson City last night. Jovan Mooring joining us up here. We are at Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino. John Sandler, Robert Smith, and the aforementioned JoJo, who had a new career high last night with 31 points in the Runner Rebel victory over Reno. Getting ready now for Wyoming at the Thomas and Mack on Saturday late afternoon. JoJo, that had to be a lot of fun last night.
The game was just, it was a lot of energy in the building, and I think the chant at the beginning is like, it really got a lot of us fired up. You know? But for me personally, I had a goal in mind coming into this season, like personally, to make sure I defeat San Diego State, Nevada. You know, those guys, they beat up on us pretty bad last year. So that was a big thing for me personally.
Well, the fans loved it, and it was a lot of fun to be a part of. You guys have done such a great job in those hostile environments this year. Starting at Northern Iowa, which is a real tough place to play, and on the road in the league, you guys have won four road games this year. What is it about this team that allows you to play so well in those tough environments?
Early in the season, we weren't defending at a high rate, but I think the last couple of weeks we've shown that we're, you know, one of the best defensive teams in the conference, and there's still room for improvement, but so far, defense has been what's, you know, kept us in games.
Well, we talk about, Robert and I talk about all the time, defense is what's going to win games for the Runner Rebels, because you guys can score. There's no doubt about it.
Right.
When you hold the other teams, when you get stops, is when you can build leads and hold leads like you did last night. All right, let's talk about you and your career, and you mentioned wanting to make amends for some things that happened last year. Last year was very difficult for everybody. You played your heart out. I know one of the fans up here was talking about the mooring miracles that we witnessed last year, but it has to be just almost like a weight lifted off your shoulders now with guys on who you can play with now, who can contribute as well. It's not all on you.
We have a lot of pieces. You know, we could go 10, 11 deep on any given night, and you know, it seems to be a guy, you know, every other night that has a big game. So that's one of the special things about our team. You know, it's not on the shoulders of one or two guys. We have multiple guys that could contribute. So I think that's going to be big for us going forward.
The ability to not have to run the point. It was tough last year. You did a great job, but it was tough. That's not your natural position. You can do it, and you showed you could do it. But being able to play alongside a guy like Jordy, I mean, in addition to the fact that he's a little crazy and has a lot of fun all the time, and you two are good buddies, but how has that affected your game? How has that allowed you to free up a little bit offensively?
He's a pass-first point guard, and I'm a score-first point guard. So it's like we both have point guard mentalities, but, you know, I'm just a little more aggressive when it comes to scoring the ball. But, I mean, he gets into the paint anytime he wants, and he finds guys, you know, and that's just natural for him. He's been great at that his whole life. So, I mean, playing with him has definitely made the game easier for all of us.
JoJo, last year you knew you didn't have the manpower to go up to Reno and compete with him. How'd you feel going into this year's game, knowing that you had Justin, McCoy, Jordy, Nunu? Where was your psyche before the game, knowing that you had those guys backing you?
For me, I'm so confident in myself and my teammates. I've never come into a game, you know, feeling like we can't win.
Right.
Because, I mean, once the ball goes in the air, you know, everything else goes out the window. It's 10 guys on the court at a time, and you got to get the job done. So, I mean, I think last year we could have beat those guys.
Yep.
But unfortunately, they just, you know, they just clicked more and they had everything rolling for those guys. But as far as yesterday, it was the same mentality, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew, like, you know, that the guys were ready, you know, just by the way they were approaching warm-ups and things like that, you know.
Right.
Have you – how much of a help was it for you having gone through a year of conference play already? You know how tough it is. And I know you spent a lot of time trying to tell the guys who'd never done it, but it took them a while to figure it out.
Yeah, like the freshmen on our team, they early in conference play, they didn't take anyone serious, you know. I mean, they didn't think anybody could play with us, but they understand now that, you know, every team is going to bring it, you know. And in conference play, you don't have to be the better team. You just have to be better for one night, you know. It's one game at a time. And that's why you see so many upsets happening. You don't have to be the better team.
I think that's really well put. You don't have to be the better team for the season. You have to be the better team that one night.
Yeah.
And so many times, and unfortunately, that happened early in conference play to the Rebels. You know, I don't think anybody would say that you're not the better team when you look at a whole year against some of the teams that the Rebels lost to early in the season in conference play. The nice thing is, got a couple of chances to go on the road and return the favor down the road against some of those teams. I know you're looking forward to that.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't lost a game this year by double digits. So, I mean, every game we lost has been 1 to 2 possessions. And those type of mistakes we made, we're starting to clean those things up. And we're just prepared to go into any type of environment.
All right, well, we're going to talk about some of the specific plays from last night that stood out. The biggest one, I think, was the steal and the timeout call there with about 33 seconds to go. I don't know how you got that ball. I mean, the man was reaching down. Was it Caroline who had it?
I think it was the Martin.
It was Cody Martin. So he's reaching down. He's grabbing for it. I think you're right. You kind of, dove and slid around him and grabbed it going by? Is that basically what happened?
The ball was loose, and I actually thought he had it, but I think, like, him and Jordy were fighting for it. And I just saw the ball went loose, and I knew I had to be the first one to the floor to get it.
Were you already thinking about calling the timeout when you went to the floor?
Yeah, I was. You know, I was aware that we had timeout, so wasn't going to give him a chance to get a jump ball.
If you were a freshman doing that, would you have been aware of having a timeout?
Probably not.
That's what you get when you get a senior making a play.
John, how about the sprint with him and Drew?
Oh, absolutely.
Drew had 2 steps on you, and I don't know how you – I guess he figured he had already beat you to the ball, but you kept going hard and got the steal from him. That was a key play as well.
Yeah, I think he thought, he had the ball.
Yeah.
And I guess he thought we were going to give up on the play. So, I mean, anytime I have a chance to outwork guys, I'm definitely going to take advantage of the opportunity.
You made a great play of that dive save under your own basket in the second half down in front of the bench when you dove out of bounds for the ball. And then there was that insane play where you came in and I'm trying to even remember what happened. Missed the layup and Jordy wound up lying on his back.
On his back with the ball.
With the ball. Did you know he was on his back?
Yeah, I saw.
And he's on his back, and I'm going to give him credit. And he made a pass to you. It was a little bit unorthodox. He threw it straight up in the air.
Yeah, I asked him, after the game, was that a pass? He told me he saw me. I thought he was just trying to throw it so he wouldn't get a travel call. But he told me it was a pass, and that's just, him being so smart, that's just how he thinks.
I like it. Well, you didn't disappoint, because not only did you collect the pass, but you were able to get inside, get bumped, and still get the bucket. And that was one of the wildest plays we've had this year.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. But, I mean, as the leaders of the team, we knew we had to set the tone coming into this game, because, they came in with a lot of confidence, and I don't think those guys even thought we could beat them.
No.
So, I mean, you just got to come ready for a war every night.
Well, you guys sure did it last night. And 31 points, 6 threes, 7 rebounds. That was huge. A couple of steals, a couple of assists. He played 39 minutes. Were you tired after the game?
I was sore, but I wasn't tired.
Atta baby. Well, we're going to take a break. We're going to ask you to stick around if you don't mind. talk a little bit more about your team. Talk about maybe your future, what you want to do, both in basketball and in life, because I know these folks would like to learn a little bit more about Jovan Mooring. Runner Rebel Basketball back in action on Saturday afternoon, a 5 o'clock tip against Wyoming. Thomas and Mac better be packed after this one, folks. We'd love to see you out there. We'll be back with more of the Marvin Menzies radio show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield. Mooring double clutch layup, no good. And Cook and Johnson wind up with it. Johnson grabs it, throws it high in the air to Mooring, and lays it in.
Oh, my.
I don't think I did that justice. That was the craziest play. At least I got the part where he threw it straight up in the air. JoJo went and got it. We were listening to that layup sequence that we talked about in our last segment. John Sandler, Robert Smith, Jovan Mooring with us. Coach Menzies will be back in just a little while. The Marvin Menzies radio show from Bailiwick here inside the Orleans Hotel Casino. Got a nice crowd here. Finally got our audio up. We appreciate the folks who worked so hard to get that going. Folks enjoying great food and drink here at Bailiwick. We're visiting with JoJo and talking about this Runner Rebel team. One of the things that the fans have talked about a lot, and certainly Robert and I have noticed and enjoyed, is watching the young guys grow up and, as a result, watch the whole team get better. You talked about, you know, committing to defense and the guys understanding how having to play hard. But, you know, you're an old guy. You've been around a bit. You've seen a lot of basketball. It's pretty remarkable watching these young kids kind of begin to understand what's involved in succeeding at this level.
Yeah, when you look at, like, the young guys on our team, you know, they make, you know, probably the extra passes they didn't make when they first got here. And just, you know, learning and responding when coach gets on them, you know. And I think a lot of guys just, you know, they have to be mentally strong. And, you know, it's been a struggle, you know, especially for freshmen throughout the season. But as we've moved forward, those guys have done a great job just growing up and just becoming better basketball players.
I know you and Jordy have been a big part of it, helping them. What have been some of the things that you guys have talked to the young guys about and tried to help them understand and grow up quickly?
Well, you know, I think we wanted them to grow up quicker than they did. You know, coach tries to calm us down because sometimes we probably yell at them too much, and, you know, not everyone responds well to that. But, you know, as of now, they handle it great. You know, and pretty much all the guys are on the same page now, and we understand that, you know, it's only one goal at hand, and that's to win.
When you have so many new guys coming in and try to blend them together, you know, we talk about it a lot, but I think fans sometimes don't understand that, well, you guys have all played basketball your whole lives, so why does it take a while to get that chemistry going?
I mean, it's basketball, you know. I mean, you look at NBA teams and they struggle. Like, those are the best players in the world, and you just realize, like, how do, you know, professional athletes struggle this much? And, you know, it's tough because you have a lot of egos, you know, and everyone on Division
One. There's no egos on the Rebel. Come on.
I mean, like, everyone on the Division One team, you know, they were the best player on their high school team,
right,
or their
exactly.
junior college team, wherever they come from. So it's always egos, and it's just about sacrificing, you know, and you have to get a group of guys together that are willing to sacrifice and just not think about themselves. And sometimes it doesn't happen as fast as everyone wants it to.
Very well said.
Let me ask you something. What do you think you had to sacrifice this year being, you know, with different players compared to last year?
Well, just understanding that, you know, we have so much talent, you know, so much more talent and so many guys that could do so many different things.
Right.
You know, and just mixing it up, you know, and we play to our opponent, you know. Whoever we're matched up with, we come in with a game plan, you know, and you have to adjust. So you may have to play different some games
right.
compared to others.
Good.
What's it like playing with a kid? And he is a kid. He's a big kid. We had him here last
oh,
week.
Man.
But playing with a kid as talented, as smart, and as goofy as Brandon McCoy.
You know, B's a character, you know. But, I mean, he wants to learn, like, everything, you know. And he understands he's not perfect. And it's like, you know, early in the year, you know, everyone get on him about his defense. But he was just a freshman. You know, he in high school he played against guys that were 6'4". You know, so I mean, and then he playing against guys that are almost his size, you know, if not bigger. So it's just he had to get used to playing against that type of physicality. And as the season is going along, you know, our defense has gotten so much better because of him. You know, he's the main reason why we're so good at defense now.
Growing up in Chicago, who was the best player you saw coming up in school or just somebody that lived there?
In Chicago?
That you played against.
That you, yeah, that you know or seen.
Oh, Jabari Parker.
Yeah.
He had a very unique skill set. You know, I think he was probably a freshman, and I just saw him at a pro-am just killing guys that were, you know, 10-year veterans in the NBA.
That's pretty impressive. Well, I mean, you mentioned the talent on this Runner Rebel team.
That's
I
right.
mean, I love watching Shakur Justin play. I mean, this guy, he's a little bit undersized, but he uses his length. He uses his hands are like the size of one of those tables. and he uses them so effectively. And he also, though, I mean, came from JUCO, so he's still learning how to play at the Division I level.
Yeah, I mean, out of all the guys, he's probably the one, you know, that makes sure he understands everything that's going on the court, you know, and that's just part of him. He doesn't want to be lost. He doesn't want to mess up, so he makes sure he gets everything.
Yeah, and we spend a lot of time here. We don't want to take the spotlight off of you because, you know, you are one of the real leaders on this team, and the season is a long way from being over. You guys have a lot to prove, and I think there's a big run in you guys coming up. But the future of this program is pretty darn bright when you look at Amari Hardy and you look at Nunu and you look at Mbake, a guy who's been playing basketball for a year and a half, running around like a baby gazelle out there. I mean, it's, how good is this guy going to be?
Well, once our strength coach start putting some weights on
Cabo
on his bars, he'll be fine. But yeah,
oh, he's just doing the bar now.
Yeah, he's still doing the baby weights right now. But he works extremely hard, and you know, coaches on him more than anybody about, you know, just not biting defensively and falling for pump fakes and things like that, because he's such a great shot blocker. He wants to block every shot,
everything.
You know.
And block it.
Yeah, he's learning, and you know, he's gotten a lot better than he was in the summer.
How about his first dunk attempt last night when they blocked it and he fell on his back? He jumped right back up like, hey, let's go. He plays with a lot of energy.
Yeah, I think he was just so excited because he was going to the free throw line. Yeah, he likes to shoot free throws, you know.
He knocked down a couple towards
big
the end
free
that
throws.
Were very important.
He certainly did, but he likes to shoot free throws after he made that second one at San Jose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the first – before he took the first one,
man,
I thought he was going to walk out of the gym. He started heading toward midcourt, and he just kind of kept going. It's like, Mbake, where you go, man?
Yeah, I think his chest still beating from that play.
JoJo, you've got we have seven conference games, regular season games left,
uh-huh.
And then conference tournament, and then hopefully some postseason. Can you believe it's kind of, you know, you can at least see the horizon, you know, that college career is winding down. You got a lot of work to do left, but I know you want to make it special.
I mean, I haven't really thought about it much, you know. I mean, the only thing I'm focused on now is just making sure everyone continues to get better and we make a big run going forward.
Well, obviously you want to play professionally, whether it's here or someplace overseas or what have you. But after basketball, what are some things that you like to do? You want to coach, or do you want to do other things in life outside the game?
Well, coaching has always been in the back of my mind. But, I mean, I haven't really thought that far ahead yet. You know, I just live in the moment, and I try not to think too much about where I might be then.
Well, I think that's a great idea. You know, we do tease Coach Menzies every once in a while for having to put his livelihood in the hands of a bunch of kids. So think about that when you decide if you want to become a coach or not. But, JoJo, just a tremendous effort last night. I tweeted about it, and we talked about it on the air. You just weren't going to let the Runner Rebels lose last night. And I think you cemented your place as a guy who will live in the hearts of Rebel fans forever with that performance last night. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Terrific, terrific job. We are going to let JoJo grab a bite. We're going to take a break. We're going to get Coach Menzies back up here, talk a little bit more about his team and the upcoming games with Wyoming and Air Force at the Thomas and Mack coming up the next two. Good chance for the Rebels to try to establish another good presence at home. Jovan Mooring, really appreciate it, man. Keep up the good work.
Thanks so much.
Outstanding. Good work, man. Take a break. Come back with more. You listen to the Marvin Menzies Radio Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield. Court pass in the corner to Hardy. Fakes the three. Goes baseline. Hardy reverse layup. What a play by Amari Hardy. Amari Hardy with a terrific start to last night's game. We were talking about it. He dominated some of the game in the first half. John Sandler, Robert Smith, and head coach Marvin Menzies rejoining us. And, you know, coach, before we get back to basketball, we've had a number of players on this year, from Shakur to Brandon to up to Amari, Mbake. We just had JoJo on. I can't tell you how impressive. I mean, it's not easy for those guys to come up here and get on the radio and, you know, never done it before. And, you know, they might be a little bit shy or a little bit nervous at the beginning, but all of them, you know, well-spoken, thoughtful, smart kids who express themselves well. I'm really impressed.
Well, I will take all the credit for that.
I think
that.
You should. That's where I was going with it.
I feel like, you know, if you're going to be a coach, you got to be a good dad, and if you're going to be a good dad, well, then you better put the right people in your house, you know, so to make my job a little easier. But, no, I do want to recruit character. We talk about that a lot as building the foundation here and moving my particular journey here as a head coach, not counting the assistant coach here, because Lon's going to get all the credit for those guys. But but I do think that as I, you know, I don't know, etch my legacy, I guess you would say, I want people to look back and say, boy, we really liked those kids while Coach was here. And hopefully, you know, we win some games along the way and we do the right things by them, and they in turn do the right things by the university and the community. So I just, you know, when you look around the country at the top 25 programs and how they've built and sustained success, it's with character. Generally, you know, there are some programs that have won, but really to sustain it, I think you've got to have the right guys on the bus.
Well, and that is so critical. Obviously, talent plays a big part. Coaching plays a big part. But and the culture that you build.
Right.
But another thing that plays a huge part, and I think it's an opportune moment to talk about, because the Rebels just got done playing in front of two sold-out crowds in Boise and in Reno. Probably combined close to 24,000 fans watch the Rebels play and very nearly win both games, getting a split. In that two-game road trip. And we talk about it occasionally, but I don't think you could overemphasize how important that home court environment is to your team, to your program.
Right. And, you know, before I elaborate on that, because I do want to address that, and I'm glad you brought that up, specifically going into this weekend, you know, with we played the number one team in conference, number two, and then we played the number three on Saturday. But, Robert, you know, what was the attendance like when you were here, and what was the environment like when you had the sold out games, and did you have some games that weren't, and what was it like, and did it make a difference for you as one of the, you know, maybe the best point guard to ever play here?
Well, I tell you what, the fans were tremendous when I got here, because Tark had got here a year before I did, so, you know, he kind of brought that winning edge. And then the second year it started getting crazy, you know, and then we started getting a few more good players in, and, you know, at the time we were playing at the convention center, which was, it looked like a little spaceship.
How many did the convention center see?
I think at the most 7,500.
Okay.
But there were nights we turned away 12,000 people.
Wow.
I mean, it got that crazy.
So you basically turned away Boise.
Yeah.
Because they had 12,000.
Yeah, exactly.
You told Boise they couldn't come today.
No, I'm telling you. I went out one time because I was leaving a friend of mine tickets to the game. And everybody was already in, but it was still early, you know, before the game started. And they had people lined up, and they were pushing them back because they said, we cannot sell any tickets.
Wow.
We have no more tickets. But what they did back then was, you know, they, the other part of the convention center, they put up two big screens, and people start going, you know, they paid for the tickets.
Just to be in the building.
Just to
huh?
be in the building.
Wow.
And but see, here's the deal. They told me when I first got here that Thomas and Mack was going to be built before I left, and it wasn't.
Yeah, they got you.
They got me, man. But you know what?
Hey, but you still live here, so something must be good here for you.
I got my perks. I got my perks.
You did all right.
Well, you know, speaking of that, you know, the we seat over 18,000.
Right.
And so let's say, you know, someone told me that the Reno game was, what, the eighth largest
crowd they've ever had.
Eighth largest crowd they've ever had. Man. And the Boise State game was sold out. Imagine that, and then a whole another half of an arena in there, which is what Thomas and Mack is when we're sold out. So when someone asked me after I took the job, because I've been said more than once that UNLV was my dream job. And, you know, one of the reasons why is because of the fan base here, right, and because of this city. You know, you got to take the bad with the good. They're going to be on you every time you don't close out a game. But, boy, when you're winning, they come. And they come in droves, and they wear their scarlet and gray, and they come loud and proud. And there's no better environment than Thomas and Mack when it's sold out. And it's a real competitive edge. So my hope and vision is to continue to do things the right way, build it the right way, and win. And as a result, you know, we get that environment because, for me, in coaching, if your job, if you have the chance to win a conference championship, you know, every year, resources, fan support, then it's a good job.
Oh, yeah.
At whatever level, even if you're a high school job, if you have a chance to win that conference, you know, a junior college job, it's a good junior college job if you can win that conference.
That's
And that's what UNLV is. We're in a conference that we need to be at the top of this conference. We need to do the right things to put ourselves in a position to do that. And this fan base and that support can sustain us and keep us there because it's the best fan base I've seen in
no doubt.
The United States and all the places I've coached.
Best city
as well.
I mean that from my heart.
Yeah.
I have never seen another city, whether it's North Carolina, and North Carolina showed me something. Remember when we went back
absolutely.
There? They showed the history of North Carolina, Michael Jordan, and before that. But I said there's no better city, whether it's a college town or whatever,
right.
And I've been to a lot, even Stanford, John.
Not now.
This is the city right here.
Right.
Well, I agree
fans
with you.
And all.
The fans respond to winning here unlike any other place, and we just want it to happen so quickly. And you just don't want fans to say, "I'll come out and support you when I think you've won enough." You've got to be part of that process.
That's right.
Well, you would hope.
Yeah.
You would hope that they look at the whole package and everything that we're doing. But I get it. There's some people that aren't diehard fans.
Right.
There's some people that do want to jump on the bus. And we'll take them, too.
You know,
I'm okay with that. Hey. Some guys grew up, you know, in a football family, but they went to UNLV.
Right.
Or they have some their kids went there or whatever. Well, you know, you don't have to be a diehard. But we want everyone that is – Vegas strong and that loves the city to understand that the Rebels are Las Vegas, you know. So when you put the right product out there and you got a great event and great entertainment and a great product and great kids and you're doing it the right way, then heck, it's easy to get on that bus and that when that bus is full and that it's rolling down the highway and you
Man.
Get that top end, this town is the best in the country. So I'm hoping that, you know, beating our rival, and I'm hoping that our improvement in our play and conference here will drive some more fans into the stands against the number three team seated right now in conference, Wyoming, on Saturday.
Absolutely. That game is at 5 o'clock. There's a lot going on. There's a kids' fest at the Mendenhall Center at 3:30 on Saturday if you want to bring your family out. Lots of good stuff over there. And then the game's at 5. The first 3,000 fans in attendance get a foam finger and I think a voucher for popcorn or something. Always something going on at the Thomas and Mack. And come on out. And also, remember that right now you have a chance to get season tickets for next year.
And we've talked a lot about the foundation of this team and the youth. I mean, yeah, you won't have old guys like JoJo and Jordy around, but you've got some kids who are playing their hearts out and get to watch Mbake grow and Nunu and Amari and some of the guys coming back from this year's team. It's going to be a lot of fun, so make sure you think about getting season tickets going forward for next year. We're going to take our last break, come back, talk a little bit more about the Wyoming game, because that's the next one, and that's the most important one as a result. You're listening to Marvin Menzies Radio Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the Rebel Sports Network from Learfield. Nice. Goes baseline, nice. Slam dunk!
And that's what you got to do. You got to attack a full court press. You can't pull it back.
Back here at Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino, John Saylor, Robert Smith, head coach Marvin Menzies, runner Rebels and Wyoming, Saturday, 5 o'clock tip. Robert and I on a pregame show starting at 4:30. Make your plans, come on out. Let's fill the Mac for the Pokes. Coach, we were talking about the environment last night and how crazy it was, and yet you were just a calm,
laid back,
just a smooth surface of a pond out there.
This is year 36, you got to remember.
Taking it slow.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you asked that, though, because I do feel like I was just talking to some of the folks in the crowd about that. I feel like for the bigger games, I kind of ratchet it down so that the players don't get influenced by – they need to see me as their focused leader that has it under control. And I think if I get too high and too excited with the emotion, I think sometimes they can drift away and get worried about referees' calls and things like that. So I just deliberately ratcheted down a notch for big games.
And he did it again last night.
I know.
Yeah, one of the fans right behind us got on him because he was complaining about a foul call. It was on Shakur and on a body. And the fan started yelling at Coach Menzies, and Coach just turns and looks at him and says, "You didn't think that was a foul?" And the whole front row, these people who have been yelling and screaming all night, just start cracking up. I've never seen anybody just totally disarm a group of people the way you do that.
I told him, I said, "You didn't think that was a foul?" He said, "No." I said, "Well, then if you didn't think it was a foul, it wasn't a foul."
And the guy who said it is just sitting there with his mouth open.
He didn't know what to say.
And all his buddies around him are just cracking up.
He was on me all night. I had to defuse him eventually.
You took care of it well. Well, the Cowboys are going to be on you all night or all afternoon, 5 o'clock on Saturday. This is a good team with a couple of really experienced, talented players.
They are, and we got a good look at them today on video. We've obviously seen them because they played a lot of teams in film that we've been watching up to this game. And so we've got into the specifics of personnel, style of play, defensive and effort and so forth. So we'll be ready to roll.
That's 5 o'clock Saturday at the Thomas & Mack. I want to thank Chris in our studio, Brad right here, for Robert, for Coach. This is John thanking you for coming out. We'll talk to you Saturday afternoon for the Thomas & Mack. Have a good night, everybody.
And by Fenley Chevrolet. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Rebel Sports Network.